Anna, welcome.
Hello. Yes, it's time for question of the week. And this week, everyone in the team has had their nose pressed against the screen.
Hello, this is Claudia from Argentina. I have a question for you. When I was little, my parents always insisted that I keep a safety distance from the TV. Was that a urban myth, or to save me from some mysterious rays coming from the TV? And what about now? Should I insist that my son keep a safety distance from the computer screen or the TV screen? Does somebody know this? Is it harmful? Thank you very much. I love your show. Bye.
Is it radiation, or is there a danger that a Japanese horror movie might pop out of the telly?
Hello, I'm Andy Karam. I'm an adjunct professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Televisions really do give off radiation, but having said that, it's only a little bit of radiation, and it's not that dangerous. What happens is that anything with a cathode ray tube, a tube where you shoot high-energy electrons at some sort of screen, when those electrons hit the screen, they give off very low-energy X-ray radiation. This is the same way that X-rays are produced in regular X-ray tubes. So if you're sitting close to a cathode ray tube, whether a computer monitor, a television screen, a radar set, or anything else with that type of technology, you're going to be getting low doses of X-ray radiation. Now, having said that, I've got to emphasize their low doses of radiation. It's not enough to be dangerous, and in fact, if you watch your television for several hours a day all year, you're getting less radiation than you would from a single medical X-ray, and less radiation than you get from the radioactivity that's just naturally within your body. So it's something that we can measure, but it's not something that's harmful. LCD and plasma screens don't give off any radiation at all. They don't use the high-energy electrons. It's a different type of technology. I could not say that they're safer because I don't consider the radiation from cathode ray tubes to be a risk, but I can say that they give off less radiation. As far as sitting too close to the television goes, the further back you are, the lower the radiation dose will be. But having said that, I don't consider the radiation dose even at a distance of just 1 meter to be dangerous.
So nothing too radioactive, even from the old televisions. And it seems there's not much evidence that sitting close to the television will damage your eyesight either. But in the 1960s, when TVs were a relatively new object in the home, radiation and eyesight were two major concerns of the viewers, as opposed to maybe the brain wasting caused by watching too much daytime talk show.
And on our forum, we had answers from Bored Chemist, who said being close to the TV is dangerous because you block the grown-ups' view. Anyway, and Shims said that the industry standards now imposed are in place to limit radiation from tellies, and also that sitting too close might give you eye strain, but you won't damage your sight. That madman added that the flicker on old TV displays might add to the eye strain part of it. We might just need to have a whole load of adults sitting 2 feet from a screen, and then a whole load more 10 feet away and see if it affects their eyesight.
Indeed. Well, next week we have a question about an animal that doesn't have a problem with eyes, since quite often it has lots of them.
Hello, my name's Charlie, and I'm from Milton Keynes, and I have this question about a spider. How does a spider work out all the positions for the different elements of its web? Is it a brilliant mathematician?
So, how do spiders make their webs without the aid of a set square and a tape measure? We need your help, so email us with your answer or post it on the forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum, and we'll tackle it next week.
Thank you very much, Diana. That's Diana O'Carroll with this week's Question of the Week. And in fact, you can catch up with more Questions of the Week, which are all published as a podcast in their own right on our website at nakedscientist.com/QOTW, or you can find it on iTunes, again, Question of the Week. Don't forget, if you have an answer to that question, you can place that on our forum at nakedscientist.com/forum. You might get mentioned in next week's show, who knows? Well, that's it for this week, and thank you very much to our wonderful production team. I have to say a very big thank you to Ben Vowsler and Miracentha Lingam, who do an amazing job for us. And next time, we're actually heading up Everest. We'll be finding out how one of our team fared as she ascended to the dizzy heights of the top of the world in the Himalayas. How did altitude affect her? Plus, we'll be finding out on the subject of big mountains how mountain ranges like the Himalayas actually affect the world's weather and the world's climate over millions of years. So if you have any rock-related questions, do please send them in, chris@thenakedscientist.com. In the meantime, don't forget also that the World Podcast Awards are running at the moment. They're open for nominations, so if you would like to recommend your favourite science show, then The Naked Scientists are standing for Best Produced and also for Best Technology and Science Show. If you think we deserve a nomination, we'd be grateful indeed for you to nominate us. That's at podcastawards.com. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.